For the rest of us, if you would turn with me to Daniel 1, verses 1 through 7, and then also turn to Romans 5, verses 1 through 8. Put your finger in there. Both of these scriptures are foundational to our message. I want to talk to you today as we look forward to turning the page and the calendar and leaving 2023 behind and launching into 2024. I want to talk to you about opportunities. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Well, like opportunities, right? Our problem is what we do with our opportunities. Many times we don't use our opportunities wisely. Beginning to read in Daniel 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. Among these were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel he gave the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. Now, Romans 5, 1 through 8. Beginning to read in verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by his Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we just pray that you would watch over your word to perform it within us and within this gathering of believers, Lord God. We welcome you by the power of your Holy Spirit to open our eyes and to open our understanding, to open our hearts for what you would have us to glean from your word today. We thank you that your word is powerful, that is sharper than any double-edged sword, that, Lord, it even divides the bone from the marrow. And we just thank you for that, Lord God. I pray, Lord, as I bring this message, that you would put a watch on my mouth, that it would only speak the words that you have ordained for this morning, not a word more or a word less, and all to your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Daniel was a young man with a future. He would have been voted the most likely to succeed in his class. But Daniel was caught in a world system and culture that had forgotten God. Does this kind of sound familiar? God repeatedly sent prophets to the people of Israel, but they continued to rebel and live in sin. Does that sound familiar? In 605 BC, God allowed the superpower of that day, Nebuchadnezzar and his Babylonian armies, to attack Jerusalem and take over the city. Before returning to Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar set up a puppet government in Jerusalem. And as an insurance policy against further rebellion, he took members of the royal family back to Babylon as captives. Daniel was one of the youngest hostages selected. Nebuchadnezzar's plans called for Daniel and his friends to be rigorously trained for and indoctrinated for 3 years. Then at the age of 17, they would enter the king's service. For a moment, put yourself in Daniel's sandals. This was not the plan that he had for his life. In a short period of time, his life was turned upside down. From a carefree teenager to a servant of a foreign king. He was taken from family and would never see his homeland again. He would never worship in the temple in Jerusalem or see his family again. He lost his spiritual mentors and was taken to a land where God was mocked. He was taken 800 miles away to a new home on the Euphrates River. Daniel faced adversity with a true Christian character. Daniel was caught in a culture that forgot God. When a nation forgets God, everyone suffers. The righteous along with the unrighteous. From the life of Daniel, there are at least four lessons we can learn and apply to our lives as we enter this new year. First lesson we can learn is that we need to accept the inevitability of interruptions of life. We are going to have interruptions in our lives. We plan, we pray, we try to direct our lives, but the bottom line is we are really not totally in control of our lives. Circumstances take place. Things that we don't have planned for our lives happen. And it comes in many, many different, comes on different avenues. It can be the death of a loved one. It can be the loss of a job. It can be anything, guys. But if we will look at those things and not only look from the negative, because we're being derailed from the plans that we had for our lives, then we can turn that upside down and turn them into opportunities. And how do we do that? We do that by surrendering to God and saying, not my will, but yours. And you have allowed this to happen, and there's got to be a reason, so I choose, Lord, to look for the opportunities in what has happened. So the fact is that this life is not a Disneyland. We live in a fallen world, guys, and we must never forget that. We live in a world that is fallen. This world is no longer paradise. You understand, when Adam and Eve were created and put in the garden, they were in a paradise. And this world is not that paradise any longer because sin came into the world and destroyed that. Many of those interruptions are painful. Thank God some of them are joyful. William A. Ward says, adversity causes some men to break, causes others to break records. See, adversity, when we deal with it correctly in Christ, can make us stronger. It can make us to take avenues that we would not take if all was well. It's fun to be on the mountaintops, but it's not reality to always be on the mountaintops. It's also not God's will that we are always on the mountaintops, because it's down in the valleys that we grow. It's the valleys that make us grow. I don't know how many of you have been out to the Rockies, but you get out there in the Rockies and get up high on the mountain, there's not too much growing up there. But when you get down in the valley, into the foothills, you find lush pastures and the likes. Things are growing. Helen Keller, who was born blind, once said, "Keep your face to the sunshine, and you cannot see the shadows." Those are wise words. If we keep our face to the sunshine, we won't notice the shadows. With a vital faith in Christ, we can look at all adversities as adventures, saying to ourselves, "Okay, Lord, this wasn't my plan, but you've allowed it. What are we doing here? I'm on board with you. I don't understand it, Lord. This wasn't my plan, but I'm on board with you. Wherever you're taking me, I will go. Whatever you've decided to do in me, I'm on board. Do it in me. Do spiritual surgery on me. Do whatever it takes, Lord. Make me the person that you created me to be." Only when Jesus returns will there be lasting peace in the world. You heard me when I was praying. I've been praying this a lot. It's really been in my heart a lot to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Probably should have been doing that consistently for 40 years, let's be honest. I probably should have been. Okay, I've been dropping the ball for years. Oh, once in a while, yeah, but most of the time, no, don't even think about it. What's been on my mind lately, obviously, with the war that's going on over there, praying for the peace of Jerusalem, because we were told in the Word of God to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, so we know we're supposed to. But there's no peace in the world. There's not peace. Pray for peace, but there's not peace. There's not lasting peace. Revelation 21, verses 2 through 5. Revelation 21, verses 2 through 5. John says, "I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" Boy, now that sounds mighty good, don't it? But guess what? That is when the holy city, the new Jerusalem, is coming down out of heaven. That is the end of, marks the end of things as we know it. We know that's true because he went on to say, the old order of things is no more. All is made new. It's not until that transition, when the old order of things comes to an end, that we will see true, constant peace. Until then, in the power that Christ gives us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we overcome in spite of what happens in the world, in spite of the interruptions in our plans for our life, in spite of everything else. We are overcomers. Never forget, in Christ, if you are truly in Christ, you are going to overcome. We are promised that. So as we go into this new year, go into this new year with that attitude. No matter what transpires this coming year, we're overcomers. You are an overcomer in Christ. Second lesson, don't get hung up on the source of your situation. Don't get hung up on the cause or the source of your situation. We are tempted to play the blame game. Well, if this person didn't do this, I wouldn't be in the situation I'm in. Maybe it's a boss. Maybe it's a pastor. It could be anybody. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's a girlfriend or a boyfriend. They didn't do this, I wouldn't be in this situation. So we start the blame game. It's always somebody else's fault. Years ago, I was meeting with a woman in my pastor's study. Actually, I was meeting with her and her husband. I don't ever meet with women alone. And they were having problems. And she had been married 4 times. And she was sitting in front of me, telling me about this horrible guy that was sitting next to her. And I sat patiently, which is hard for me. I think I was squirming. Because there were some things I wanted to say. You know what I'm talking about. And I let her finally stop and take a breath. And I leaned forward in my chair behind my desk and I said, what's the common denominator here? This is your now husband's first marriage. You've been married 4 times. I'm thinking maybe you need to quit blaming the other person and start looking at yourself because you're the common denominator. Needless to say, they didn't meet with me again. Never been to the church. This was a person that hadn't even been to our church. It was somebody that was referred to me by another person. You try to help people. Well, they didn't want the kind of help I was giving. I'm pretty sure the guy agreed. And I heard later that they did split up. So we're tempted to play the blame game. Don't do it. It is always better first for us to pray and ask God, help me to see myself like you see me. Help me to see myself first like you see me. Because, Lord, I've got a tendency to always want to see the fault in everyone else. Amen? Every time we are faced with adversity, we have a choice to make. We can sin and yield to Satan, or we can make the choice to live by faith. Live by faith. Live by faith and not by sight. In every challenge in life, God offers hope. Every challenge. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. If you're taking notes. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Listen, temptations come. We've had all kinds of temptations this year. I know we have. Every one of us. Because it's the life that we live. And sometimes we make the wrong choice. Isn't that right? That's why it says in the Word in Romans 3:23 that all sin and fall short of the glory of God. It's why we needed Jesus Christ. Because we could not fulfill the law. We could not fulfill the demands of the taskmaster. The law. So we needed Jesus Christ. We just come into the season where we celebrated the birth of our Savior. Because the birth of our Savior led to the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior. We will be tempted this coming year. You can count on it. The devil will tempt us. But we can't blame the devil for everything either. Because we've all got sinful tendencies on our own. Come on now. Somebody help me breathe. Let's be honest. Now the devil likes to get his strokes. So when we blame him for things that it's just something that's in us, he'll take the recognition. But the bottom line is, we've all got sinful tendencies. The devil's hope is to be able to expand on those, use them. But this coming year, we will have temptations, but we need to, as I said, we are overcomers in Christ. Because we cannot be tempted beyond what we can bear. We just read it, verse 13. We cannot be tempted beyond what we can bear. Why is that? Because nothing that happens to us without going through the Father. Every single thing that we have dealt with in our life and every single thing we will deal with in 2024 has to go by the Father first. We forget that. And that's what causes us, when we forget that, to begin to look for people to blame. It's been happening for years. The Israelites did it. For Pete's sakes, guys, Adam did it. When sin came in the earth, Adam already started with it. He blamed his wife and God in one sweep. He said, the woman you put here with me gave me fruit from the tree and I did eat. So in that one sweep, he blamed the woman that God put with him and he blamed God. Because he said, that woman that you put here with me. So the blame game started already then. Is that true? Yeah. And has progressed from there on. Because sin reproduces sin. Righteousness will reproduce righteousness, but sin reproduces sin. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. When temptations come in this coming year, because they will, look for the way out that God has provided. Don't always look for the easy road, because many times the way out he provides is the harder road. How many of you found that out? I have. After 40-some years walking with God, quite often the right decision is the harder road in the short term, but the best road in the long term, of course. So don't get hung up on the sources of the situations you're in. Third one, resist the belief that you are entitled to the good life. If we were given exactly what we're entitled to, we would be vaporized in a fraction of a second. Isn't that true? McDonald's would have you to believe that you deserve a break today. That fell flat. It's all right. Advertisers would have you believe that you deserve more, a better model, a little happiness. If it will make you happy, dump your mate of 15 to 20 years and find a newer model. I made the mistake years ago, and it's been quite a few years ago, because it was before my wife and I had been married for 20 years, and we're coming up on 45 now. Praise God. She's endured me that long. But it was before we reached the 20-year mark, and I was joking with her, and I said, "You know, hon, I'd be tempted to trade you in for..." Oh, it was when she turned 40, that's right. "When you turn 40, I'd be tempted to turn you in for 220s. She didn't miss a beat. She said, "I don't know who you're trying to kid, but you're not wired for 220. Didn't even miss a beat. I was feeling pretty puny at that point. And she was probably right. That's the reality. Oh, the wisdom of a good woman. I like what A.W. Tozer says. "Whoever seeks God as a means toward desired ends will not find God. God will not be used." A.W. Tozer coined that phrase. I want to read that again because I want this to sink in. "Whoever seeks God as a means toward desired ends will not find God. God will not be used." There are people that see person that is rooted and grounded in Christ and seems to walk in a pretty constant, steady joy. Or maybe they've been blessed financially or whatever. They just look and see the blessed life that is on somebody that professes Christ. And some people look at that, and that is their motivation for coming to an altar and praying the sinner's prayer. And I'm just here to tell you today, that's the wrong motivation. That's the wrong motivation. The motivation for anyone to respond to an altar call is the revelation that we are sinners. And because of that, we need a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. That's the reason. Over 40 years ago, I got a revelation that I was truly a sinner. That God was real. That Jesus Christ really did die for my sins. and I needed him because I couldn't save myself. That kind of revelation is what we need. But there are a lot of people, I'm sure, over the decades, centuries, millennia, that have prayed the prayer because of the wrong motivations. I'm sure. I've seen people do it. And interestingly, I think that's a big part of why I've seen so many people that have started out that journey, started out with a prayer of repentance, started out with a prayer to invite Jesus into their life, but on down the road a little ways, went right back to where they came from. Did you know if you look in the Bible and you do a study and you look at all of the leaders that are listed in the Bible, that only 1 out of 10 finished well? It's no different today. Only 1 out of 10 leaders and lay people, 1 out of 10 that start out well actually finish the course well. 1 out of 10 people. It's still absolutely the same. I sure would like to see us improve on that. How about, I want to see improvement on that. Number 4, remember God wants to use you in ways you never dreamed of being used. Listen, I can testify to this. I can preach this. Because what I'm doing, I had no inkling and no desire to do. God put the desire in there. And he led me into what I'm doing. And thank God, because with him doing the changes within, it's fulfilling. Notice I didn't say easy. But fulfilling. There is absolutely no greater joy in my life than seeing people come to a relationship with Christ and continue in that relationship. There are people in this place that God used me to lead to the Lord, and you've been walking with the Lord now for over 20 years. Joe, you're one of those guys. There are others. There's a lot of others here, actually. And God has blessed me to be able to pastor you for that long and still going. I don't know how long. But thank God for you. Because you started out and you're still in the fight. So praise God for you. The Apostle Paul continually looked at the big picture. He testifies in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18. He says this, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. If we can just learn to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And when all the stuff is going on around us, when all the crazy nonsense is going on in the world, all of the deception and lies and all of the backbiting and all of the things that are going on in our culture, and I could go on and on and on about the things that are godless in our culture right now, but you know, because as we go through time, we see them ourselves, and also I gradually address them because they are godless things. It's a stain in our culture. Many things are an abomination before our God. All of that is frustrating, but though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Every day. God's mercies are fresh and new every morning. So we start out each day fresh again. Lord, I got beat up yesterday, but here I am. I'm on my feet. What are we going to do together today? We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Romans 8:28 says that we know that all things God works for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. In all things. All things. That doesn't mean everything is pleasant or everything is something we would choose. We are kind of like a cake that is going to be baked. Let me explain. When it says in Romans 8:28 that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose, that means everything that comes into our lives, it means everything. Kind of like baking a cake. You break down some of the stuff that goes into it. Flour by itself don't taste so good. You take yourself a spoon of flour or something. Spoon of butter. How about a little baking soda? That's some good stuff. Take a spoon of that. Now the sugar, that'll work. That's okay. Most of us could tolerate a spoon of sugar. My point is this. Most of the stuff that goes into the cake batter individually is not palatable. Isn't that true? But when you put it all together, God works all things together for the good of those who love Him, those who are called according to His purpose. So when you get it all mixed together and you bake it, the finished product is fabulous. I think that's what God's talking about. He works all things together. Ephesians 3:20-21. Says, now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. To Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or think. Oh, He's worthy of our praise. Let's go into this new year with an attitude of thanksgiving and praise, because we know in our knower, if we are in Christ, that He is again going to bring us through. Amen. Here we stand, hours from the end of 2023. Be honest, how many of you throughout this year have thought, are we even going to make it through this year? It's been crazy. So as we move into the new year, we can count on challenging interruptions and adversities. But through faith in Jesus Christ, we can turn every interruption and adversity into opportunities. Now, ironically, I about flipped out. I had this message done earlier this week. I read the Our Daily Bread devotional this morning. And I'm just going to read the first paragraph. I'm just going to read the first paragraph of our devotional for today. On New Year's Eve 2000, officials in Detroit carefully opened a 100-year-old time capsule. Nestled inside the copper box were hopeful predictions from some city leaders who expressed visions of prosperity. The mayor's message, however, offered a different approach. He wrote, "May we be permitted to express one hope superior to all others, that you may realize as a nation, people, and city, you have grown in righteousness, for it is this that exalts a nation." Blew my mind. I read it and I was like, yeah, gonna read that to wrap up my message today. There's no doubt about that. That fit like a puzzle piece in that, didn't it? But how much truth is there in that, man? That mayor was wise. I would have liked to have met him. 100 years before. So this was in 2000. It was in the year 1900 that the stuff was put in that time capsule. If we were going to put together a time capsule to be opened in 100 years, what would you say we should put in? I find it interesting that a lot of them were focused on the prosperity message already in 1900. Think about that. Already then. So you know what I want to do right now? It's about 5 till. I felt moved this morning. I still feel moved now. I just prayed and said, Lord, if I'm supposed to do this, you just prompt me, make me still feel led. I want to pray in the new year. So what I would like to do before I close this service is have us, some people call it popcorn prayer. I'll just be still. And you guys, as the Spirit leads you, offer a prayer. Whatever God leads you to pray. I'm going to be still, and I'll wrap up the prayer time when no one's praying anymore.
Father, we thank you for the time that we have. And just pray that in 2024, that the watchman regain a position on the walls, Father. Prompt, truthful, righteous watchman be in a position on the walls for the coming year. In Jesus' name.
Yes. In our lives, in our country, Lord. Lord, you have been faithful in the past. You will be faithful in the future. We thank you for the promises of your word that we can depend on. And for faith in our own hearts that you put there, Lord, to believe and hope for you. We thank you that you're coming back again. And that we'll see your face.
Pray that you protect all of our servicemen and women across this land and foreign lands. Mm-hmm. Lord, be with each and every family, especially with what's going on in these countries now today. Cover them with your grace and comfort. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Please. Into a deeper relationship with you. Please strengthen relationships of faith in this church, among your people, families, marriages, friendships in the church, so that we can hold each other up. Help each other to carry on into the lives.
Thank you for your mercy and grace. And we thank you for your faithfulness. No one is more faithful than you, and we are thankful that we can put our faith and trust and hope in you. And my prayer would be that each and every one of us would be as faithful to you as you are to us.
Yes.
All these people that we desperately love and pray for, this would be the year. the relationship with you. We ask that this year be the year.
Father, there is no reverse on our lives. So what has been is what is. But Lord, we go forward in the power of your might, with the power of your Spirit abounding in us. And as we look and anticipate this coming year, Lord, we just surrender to you. We ask your forgiveness. For the mighty power of your Spirit to move on our nation, we profess the sins of our nation, Lord God. The killing of the unborn, the shedding of innocent blood, the lies and deception throughout the leadership of this nation. Lord, the redefining of marriage and the redefining of many words that have meant one thing for many years, and now the meaning is being changed for agendas, Lord God. We repent on behalf of our nation. We repent for giving approval through not speaking up, because silence is seen as approval. And Lord, we pray in this coming year that the body of believers in this nation, the true body of believers, would stand up and speak up for your righteousness, even when there are consequences for it, Lord, that we would stand for you. You stood for us, and you paid the consequences, and for that we are thankful. Lord, fill us so full of love for you that will compel us to be obedient in this coming year to your leading, that your word will be the center of our lives, Lord God, that it will be the roadmap for our lives. And now this morning, as we leave this place, I pray, Lord, that we have been forever changed again by the power of your Spirit through your word today. And Lord, as we transition at midnight tonight to the new year, we pray that as we spend time with family on New Year's Day and we do what we do, that, Lord, you would be the center of that as well, every day of our lives. We pray, Lord, that you bring us back safely next weekend to hear from your word and to worship you again in spirit and in truth together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. We love you.